Samuel Adams wrote, "If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home. We ask not your counsel or your arms. May your chains set lightly on you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen." It is not Christian Science to sit back and ignore error. Many times Mrs. Eddy reminded her students, all that error asks is to be let alone. People have attained great and powerful civilizations, but in time these civilizations have disappeared. Why? Because they were not based on divine principle. Spirituality is the basis of all true thought and volition. All that is not based on principle, God, is simply hypnotic suggestion, error, and eventually disappears. "Come out from among them, and be ye separate," expresses the truth about America as the spiritual idea of love and mind. What is needed to bring harmony and peace on earth is a totally new structure of consciousness that goes out from the understanding that the kingdom of God is within our own consciousness. This kingdom is love, infinite good. Eventually, with spiritual progress, it will be seen that Christian Science is the world. Chapter 14. Spiritualization of thought is the great necessity. Advancement comes through enlightenment. Mrs. Eddy saw also that what has prevented harmony and peace on earth more than any other one thing in both individual and collective experience is the ignorant belief that there is a God out there that can give us something. There is no God in heaven or on earth that can give us anything. The kingdom of God within our own infinite spiritual consciousness alone gives all. Therefore, if there is to be change for the better, it must come through the development of our spiritual consciousness, through individual and collective spiritualized consciousness. How do we spiritualize thought? Mrs. Eddy instructs, "Spiritual sense is a conscious, constant capacity to understand God. Its ideas are expressed only in new tongues, and these are interpreted by the translation of the spiritual original into the language which human thought can comprehend. Translation gives us a new tongue. All that the eye beholds must give place to the spiritual fact by the translation of man and the universe back into spirit, mind. In proportion as this is done, man and the universe will be found harmonious and eternal. Reform is the crumbling away of material elements from reason, the translation of law back to its original language, mind, and the final unity between God and man. When our mind is free of error, it is the divine mind. The universal hypnotic suggestion that ideas have become material things and that man can have life or consciousness through the medium of matter is the fundamental lie. Mrs. Eddy said, "When we find out we don't have a matter body, nothing can touch us. Through translation, the divine mind gives us man in God's image and likeness, that is, gives us body as mind's embodiment of right ideas. This means that spiritual power is always present, but it can only appear to us as we put off a material sense of life, as we educate mortal mind out of itself by bringing every thought into obedience to truth. Our progress spiritward depends on the translation of matter into mind. We have to do this because we do not see things as they really are. We only see our concept of them. Mortal mind, illusion, universal hypnotic suggestion has classified spiritual ideas as matter or objects of material sense. Our work in science is to translate the material objects back into their original form, so that we see them as divine facts. That which brings peace and harmony into our own life will also bring peace and harmony to the world. To be concerned about the destructive forces in the world, unless we contribute something divinely scientific that can change the course of history for the better, avails little. What is needed is a little more grace, a motive made pure, a few truths tenderly told, a heart softened, a character subdued, a life consecrated. These restore the right action of the mental mechanism and make manifest the movement of the body and soul in accord with God. The divine principle carries on its harmony. Our business is to know this truth. The emphasis is on the word know. Truth is omnipresent, even if we are ignorant of it. Only what we know of truth is helpful. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul. Christian Science instructs us to dwell on what we already are and what we already have, because of the fact that I and the Father, mind, are one, and all that the Father hath is mine. This great truth is the regulator, and we don't need to pour a bucket of water, a treatment, on it every 10 minutes to make it work. I and the mind that is love are one, and all that mind hath is mine. This is a great impersonal, universal truth that applies to every man, woman, and child in the universe. The understanding and acceptance of this truth would end greed and every form of discord, bringing into focus the ever-present reign of harmony or kingdom of heaven. We would then never again dwell on what I want or would like to have, what I should have or what I need, because with the realization that God is individual mind, we also realize that embodied within our own individual, divine, infinite consciousness is all spiritual truth, all life, all love. And this life, truth, and love is living me. Therefore, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, understanding, and all these things, money, houses, barns, home, companionship, a prosperous business, shall be added unto you. Once we realize this spiritual fact, we are no longer living as just a mortal. We are living as I and the Father, mind, are one, and God liveth my life for me, as St. Paul said. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, are now living my life. Thus we no longer live our life for our own sake. Therefore, whatever we need, divine love, the Spirit of God, takes care of. We no longer turn attention to ourselves. Rather, like Mrs. Eddy, we get Mary out of the way. We let I and the Father, mind our one, become our standpoint. We become an instrument through which divine love carries out its plan of universal salvation, always remembering that God is individual mind, your mind. And this one mind and its individuality comprise the elements of all form and individualities. Our consciousness is the invisible substance of all that appears. Christian Science teaches that everything that appears, everything that makes up this world, is formed of the invisible substance of this one mind. The invisible substance is consciousness, your consciousness. There is only one infinite consciousness, and this divine consciousness is everyone's consciousness. Quote, existence separate from divinity, science explains as impossible, unquote. But if we think we have a mind of our own, or a consciousness of our own, we cut ourselves off from the infinite reservoir, the universal divine consciousness. This infinite divine consciousness is manifested as your individual consciousness. And when understanding reigns, your invisible consciousness appears visibly as every good thing needed to be an instrument to show forth infinite good's plan for the salvation of mankind. How did the consciousness of Jesus appear? Wasn't it as food for the multitude, as sight for the blind, hearing for the deaf, feet for the lame, and life for those who had died? Wasn't it as the great teacher of spiritual facts concerning our true identity as God beings? Did he have to go anywhere for it? Wasn't it his own individual spiritual consciousness appearing as this healing and teaching work? Jesus was our great example. He never looked for supply or help to anything but his own infinite divine consciousness. We must learn to do the same. We cut ourselves off from the infinite, ever-present supply of all good when we look for help to persons, places, things, conditions, circumstances, or to a God up there. Our consciousness and God's consciousness are the same. There is only one consciousness. Evil and matter, per se, are illusions that have no real objectification. Infinite good, conscious of itself, is man. As God's instrument, our business is to let ourselves be a channel for God's love to flow through to all mankind. When we remember how unmistakable Mrs. Eddy makes it, that God is manifested as individual consciousness, as individual mind, then the great truth, that all that the Father hath is mine, becomes clear also, because our consciousness and God's consciousness are one, are the same. God, as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, is our mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Since principle and its idea is one. But in order to realize this, the old man, a mortal sense of self, a selfhood apart from God, must be put off, must be educated out of itself. It is materialism that clogs humanity's progress. Human beings have looked in the wrong direction for fulfillment of their desires. They have separated themselves from God's love. They have personalized evil, personalized good. They think of their supply as though they themselves could have anything. Jesus, however, plainly instructed, I can of mine own self do nothing, have nothing, be nothing. The Father within me doeth the works, has all, gives all. Mortals experience lack. Poverty isn't just being without food or shelter. It is the absence of love. People the world over are hungry for love, even dying for lack of love. They want to be somebody to someone. Yet all the while, the kingdom of mind and love within is capable of pouring forth more than they can accept. Cast thy bread, the divine truth you understand, upon the waters, and it comes back to you to fill your every need. Science and health characterizes St. John's love one another as the most simple and profound counsel. Mortals think they, of themselves, can have something. But again, this is illusion. All belongs to God. It is all God's. Love is of God, and therefore, in reality, is infinitely manifested as man. Intelligence is of God. Health is of God. Prosperity, harmony, and every good thing is God manifested as man. Quote, mine and thine are obsolete terms in absolute Christian science, wherein and whereby the universal brotherhood of man is stated. Unquote. Every quality, attribute, and thing is infinitely available to everyone on earth. Quote, formed and governed by God, the mind which is our mind, and which is both cause and effect, both noumenon and phenomena, our individuality is safe in the substance of soul, the substance of spirit, the substance of God, the one inclusive good. We therefore must not personalize good, since God is no respecter of persons. As the Spirit of God dwells in and illumines our individual consciousness, it flows out to bless others, to heal and teach. Everything that is good and right begins with an individual. The light always comes through an individual, as it came through the individual Moses, the individual Jesus, the disciples, St. Paul, Mrs. Eddy. The illumined consciousness of Mary Baker Eddy spiritually educated millions in her time, and is continuing to educate present-day world thought. Her teaching is today prompting Protestant and Catholic churches the world over to turn their attention to spiritual healing. Out of Mrs. Eddy's demonstration has come a whole new religious concept, a concept of divine healing. In science, we do not think of our supply, our health, our good. There is none good but one, that is God, said Jesus. We must realize the universal nature of every good quality, attribute, and thing, just as we see the universal nature of numbers and notes, and be willing to see universal good expressed everywhere on this planet, wherever it is needed. Accepting that I and my Father are one, and that the kingdom of God is within our consciousness, frees us from the false belief that we can get good from God, from a God outside of our own consciousness. Jesus, our great exemplar, taught, I am the living bread, truth. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. He made it clear that he was no different from us in any way except for a fuller understanding of his oneness with God. He indicated that when we understand our true divine identity, we would do even greater works than he was able to do 2,000 years ago. The visible manifestation of this kingdom within becomes the instrument through which love flows out to the world. Existence separate from God, science explains as impossible. The great spiritual fact must be brought out that man is, not shall be, perfect and eternal. Unquote. God's good is omnipresent. Just as in a mundane way, the multiplication table is omnipresent and always at everyone's disposal. Understanding alone is needed. Remember, everything that is good begins with an individual. This is why Mrs. Eddy said, quote, God will heal the sick through man, whenever man is governed by God, unquote. As humans, we are nothing, can be nothing, can do nothing. It is always God doing it, never the manifestation or reflection. Man, the manifestation, is like the image in the mirror, which of itself can do nothing. However, when we get a personal sense of self out of the way and attain divine realization, we are automatically one with God and with what God is. This then appears outwardly as form, as health, abundance, home, etc. But the substance, which is spirit, remains invisible. And this invisible substance is our consciousness. Through Christian Science, the human mind is educated out of itself. When the human mind has dropped all hate, envy, jealousy, greed, fear, and all the lusts of the flesh, every form of error, the divine mind alone remains and can bring divine good into sharp focus. Quote, the ultimate teaching of Christian Science is to restore to man his consciousness of the divine mind as his only mind. Unquote. And the Holy Ghost is the activity of the divine principle everywhere at work in the world. executing the will of God. Mortals are ignorant of their true identity. Therefore, it must be learned. This is why so much of the textbook, besides its absolute statements, is written on a lower level, which instructs how truth overcomes error. The textbook must state how science looks to those who cannot look beyond the physical senses. Chapter 15. Why Our Constitution Is Today Under Attack. When Mrs. Eddy was asked what her political views were, she answered, "I have none other than to help support a righteous government." It behooves Christian Scientists to consider seriously the question of constitutional government, because it is outside of all political issues. Under our constitutional government, the three branches, legislative, judicial, and executive, prevent the misuse of power, and when carried out as intended, make it impossible for the government to tyrannize and exploit the individual. The Constitution provides the best framework ever created by man within which to develop his genius and work to fulfill his dreams so that the entire nation may prosper. But our Constitution is today under attack because its guarantees of freedom are absolute and not subject to suspension as they are in a parliamentary form of government. Our Constitution is unique in all the world, though many are not aware of this fact. The constitutions of other nations selectively ban writing and speaking, which point out, for instance, the truth about communistic inclinations. The constitutions of other nations even prevent churches from publishing their condemnation of certain practices the churches deem evil. Their constitutions ban the exposure of evil ostensibly, for instance, on the grounds that such publication and airing might offend minority groups. In crisis, Christians look to the Bible for help. Today, astute Christians of every faith are contending that the approaching crisis of Western civilization is not just a political battle, but is actually a spiritual battle, and that the greatest collision of the forces of good and evil in history is approaching. They are warning that Western man will find the answers to the approaching Armageddon only in the Bible. 120 years of Christian Science instruction. But long before most Americans and others of the world realized the nature of the enemy of mankind, Christian Science had begun its critically important instruction in spiritual science. See Miscellany 61. Mary Baker Eddy's writings and the Christian Science periodicals during Mrs. Eddy's time with us importantly contributed to the strength and dynamism of America and of the entire world. After Mrs. Eddy's passing, the Christian Science Monitor has sadly seemed, on many issues of national importance, to join forces with what many thinking Christian Scientists deem the enemy of individuality and the science of the Christ. The Christian Science solution is critical to humanity's survival. Genuine Christian Science not only points out the danger, but advocates and intelligently, powerfully articulates the ideals which constitute the framework of a free society. In her writings, Mrs. Eddy set forth the principle that uniquely promotes and defends the fundamental principles on which America was built. Governments, she states, have no right to engraft into civilization the burlesque of uncivil economics. Mrs. Eddy knew that history fails to record a single precedent in which nations, subject to moral decay, have not passed into political and economic decline, and that when moral decline sets in, there is either a spiritual awakening to overcome the moral lapse, or a progressive deterioration leading to ultimate national disaster. Genuine Christian Science, through its written and spoken word, has cast light where darkness now screams to replace it. This science gives the solutions that are critical to humanity's survival. Its teachings are alerting many who would otherwise remain unaware until too late. Christian Science, science as Mrs. Eddy taught it, is today appealing to the uncommitted millions who must be won over to the cause of freedom, not only in America, but in all the world. Future ages will owe an enormous debt of gratitude to the remnant that has maintained and is continuing to maintain a tireless vigil against those forces which threaten its freedom. Christian Science is lifting the affections and impulses of man, spiritualizing his motives and methods. It is teaching him how to love and bless mankind without a humanly controlled world government and without discarding our glorious Constitution. Christian Science, as found in the writings of its discoverer and founder, is teaching men the world over how to keep peace. And while trusting God's disposal of events, genuine Christian Scientists do not, ostrich-like, bury their head in apathy, while aggressive mental suggestion is busy delegating world power to the forces of evil, to the hidden agents, whose looms of crime, hidden in the dark recesses of mortal thought, are every hour weaving webs more complicated and subtle. Christian Scientists should be aware of Mrs. Eddy's instruction to name the error and uncover its nothingness. Quote, "When God bids one uncover iniquity in order to exterminate it, one should lay it bare." Unquote. As science and health is understood, it uncovers and kills this mystery of iniquity. Quote, "This uncovering and punishing of sin must, will, come at some date to the rescue of humanity. The time approaches when divine life, truth, and love will be found alone the remedy for sin, sickness, and death. When God, man's saving principle, and Christ, the spiritual idea of God, will be revealed." Unquote. Chapter 16. Mary Baker Eddy cited for patriotism. Mrs. Eddy consistently urged faith in God's disposal of events. She saw that faith full-fledged would bring blessings infinite, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. On this basis, the brotherhood of all peoples is established, namely, one God, one mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. The basis on which and by which the infinite God, good, the Father, Mother, love, is ours, and we are His in divine science. However, regarding the defense of America at this hour in human history, Mrs. Eddy was firm, never like a leaf in a hurricane. That she was patriotic, we learned from a Sentinel article, Volume 1, which informs, quote, "Reverend Mary Baker Eddy is more patriotic than many of her students. She keeps the stars and stripes waving over her residence at Concord. The flag also waves over the Concord Church. It is likely she sees more in the emblem of liberty than do her students." Unquote. Regarding America, she said, "Foreign nations are allied, but the United States stands alone." She saw the necessity for unswerving moral rectitude, and agreed with Alexander Hamilton's warning, quote, "Mental debasement is the greatest misfortune that can befall a people. The most pernicious of conquests, which a state can experience, is a conquest over that just and elevated sense of its own right which inspires a due sensibility to insult and injury, over that virtuous and generous pride of character which prefers any peril or sacrifice to a final submission to oppression, and which regards national ignominy as the greatest of national calamities. The records of history contain numerous proofs of this truth. The nation which can prefer disgrace to danger is prepared for a master and deserves one." Unquote. Mary Baker Eddy and the Monroe Doctrine. Regarding the Monroe Doctrine, Mrs. Eddy wrote, "I believe strictly in the Monroe Doctrine, in our Constitution and in the laws of God. Mrs. Eddy did not say, "I at present believe in the Monroe Doctrine." She said she strictly believed in it. At the first sign of its infringement, she would have alerted Christian Scientists to pray for God's will to be done and to have faith in divine love's disposal of events. Her Christian Science Monitor would never have acquiesced in and given support to violations of the Monroe Doctrine, as the Monitor since her time has done. There can be no doubt that she gave much consideration to constitutional government. She knew that until mankind learns how fleeting is that which men call great, and how permanent that which God calls good, America must remain militarily prepared. Concerning the Monroe Doctrine, patriotic citizens should often recall George Washington's advice in his farewell address, in which he warned against entangling alliances and becoming involved in European disputes. James Monroe, fifth President of the United States, from 1817 to 1825, in the doctrine forever linked with his name, although John Quincy Adams was largely responsible for its formulation, similarly warned Europe not to interfere in the affairs of the New World. And in this doctrine, Mrs. Eddy strictly believed. Further concerning government, she stated, "Mankind will be God-governed in proportion as God's government becomes apparent, the golden rule utilized, and the rights of man and the liberty of conscience held sacred." Like Gandhi, Mrs. Eddy held that in matters of conscience, the law of the majority has no place. Chapter 17. Mankind is on the threshold of realizing its divine potential. As individuals gain the realization of true government, national governments will more and more express the government of God, since in reality, God and government are one. The more we understand God and man, that is, understand the seven synonyms for God, the kingdom of God within our consciousness, the more we know about true government. Our divine potential is the ability to love as the sun shines, to love with Christ's all-conquering love. Eventually, the crucially important lesson will be learned that each individual Christian Scientist is a law to himself and has the power to think and act rightly. He does not have to look elsewhere than to the Comforter promised by Jesus in order to determine the proper course of action. Quote, "We recognize this kingdom, the reign of harmony within us, by an unselfish affection or love, for this is the pledge of divine good and the insignia of heaven." Unquote. A great divide is in the making. As quoted earlier, deep down we know that we are approaching some tremendous crisis in our civilization. But we also know there is a remnant. In fact, there is currently a vast groundswell among the American people for God and country. Patriots are sending a clear message to the media and the usurping elements in our government, saying, "We love America. We love those who still have the courage to defend her and defend our Constitution, and who want to see the Monroe Doctrine honored." How the human consciousness is prepared for Christian Science. As error comes to the surface and is exposed, the human consciousness is made ready for the reception of Mary Baker Eddy's revelation of the Christ Science, which will usher in a spiritual structure of consciousness, translating man and the universe back into spirit. Today, the revolutionary Christ Science she founded in human consciousness is bringing about momentous changes in mankind's thinking and will continue to do so until heaven is recognized as omnipresent here and now, and man is in the full consciousness of his immortality and eternal harmony. Her discovery of the divine science that lay behind Christ Jesus' marvelous works is, beyond cavil, the most significant event in the course of human history. It is liberating man from universal hypnotic suggestion, the suggestion that evil, sin, sickness, death are real. Misconception and false teaching has for eons held man in bondage and prevented his recognition of his God-being. As we have seen, Christian Science is distinctly individualistic and teaches the spiritual individuality of man. The human mind must be educated out of itself. In Christian Science, we learn that every idea of mind has its own unassailable identity. Of course, ideas are cooperative, but they never lose their individuality any more than the number 4 loses its individuality, though it cooperates with all other numbers. Each idea forever retains its right of individual freedom. This spiritual fact absolutely eschews collectivism, where the individual becomes nothing when his divine individuality is given up for the mass, the state. Chapter 18. The Constitution bulwarked advancing Christian Science. Our Constitution was a powerful means of defense, a fortification, behind which Mrs. Eddy could found the Christian Science movement. She knew and stated that it was religious liberty and individual rights under the Constitution that were rapidly advancing, avowing, and consolidating the genius of Christian Science. America's stand for the right of the individual to self-government was radical. It steered clear with the bondage of false theology, the slavery of imperialism, the cold conventionality, and the enmity over doctrines and traditions of the past. But the watchfulness necessary to prevent our spiritual radicalism from reverting to the conservatism, which Mrs. Eddy warns us against, has been lacking. Mary Baker Eddy was ever alert to the die-hard, stubborn, and truculent retention of the old theology and the old science in preference to the new. The divine science and the new divine theology she discovered, which the human consciousness is gradually assimilating, is showing mortals that all causation is vested in the divine mind. The great lesson we must therefore learn is that this mind, which is our mind, is its own great cause and effect. Hence mind is both noumenon and phenomena.